Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise. Praise the Lord. Apparently, we are starting off with some technical difficulties this evening, but we're going to bless God for it because that means that God is already showing up and about to show out. So we just praise the Lord to each and every one of you who have decided and counted it not robbery to join us this evening as we are here for Study for Life. I'm your host this evening. My name is Pastor Chappie Toy Daly. We have with us a special guest this evening. I like to be able to pronounce him under his new title. Amen. Reverend Arthur Burgess III. Reverend Art, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm blessed. I'm excited, as you see. We're going to get to this
very
introduction. We're going to get through this introduction real quick, and then I'm going to bring Reverend Art on, who is going to break down a little more for us what we are talking about this evening. So now listen, y'all, we have a lot of information to cover. I need you to grab your Bible, something to write on, something to write with. Get your, your phones, laptops, whatever. Send out your text messages, DMs. Hit somebody up on Marco and let them know that it is study time in the kingdom of God. Let them know they can listen in to us via internet on www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. And for those of you listening via live stream internet already, if you would like to join in to call in on the line, the number is 323-870-4174. And for anyone who calls in, if you would like to speak, just push the number 1 and we will bring you on as quickly as possible. So this evening, we're going to open up with a scripture. We're going to have a word of prayer. I'm going to let you know what we're talking about, and we're going to bring on Minister Art. Amen. So our scripture this evening, we're going to be coming from two places. Possibly three, because Minister Art hasn't gotten on yet, but for our general overall scripture this evening, we're going to be coming from two places, and that's Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 13. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 13. And it's only that one verse, and it reads, I'm going to be reading from the King James Version, "Thou shalt observe the feast tabernacle 7 days. After you have gathered in from your threshing floor in your wine vat." I'm going to say that again. "You shall celebrate the Feast of Tabernacle 7 days after you have gathered in from your threshing floor in your wine vat." And the other scripture that we are going to use this evening is John 14 and 6. John chapter 14, verse 6. And it simply says, "Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me." And we know that the word of the Lord is already blessed. So this evening, we're going to be talking to you about the way, the truth, and the life, the Feast of Tabernacle. Amen. So we're going to stop. We're going to have a word of prayer. Then we're going to bring on our special guest. I'm excited to hear what he has to say. And we are going to surrender to the unctioning, the will, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father God, we come before you this evening just first and foremost to bless your holy name, God. We bless you, God, for everything that you have done, everything you are currently doing, and everything we are believing and know that you are going to do. God, we just say thank you this evening as we begin to come on to the end of this Feast of Tabernacles. We just say thank you, God, for you and you alone are worthy of all of the glory. You alone are worthy of all of the honor. You alone are worthy of the praise. God, we ask that you will just toil the soil of your people's minds this evening, that your words will fall on good ground, Father, that it will take root, that it will grow into good fruit-bearing trees in the mighty name of Jesus, God. God, we ask that as your word go forth, that you will reach some lost soul out there who may not have never come or even thought about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask this evening, God, that you will draw them in. Our God, that soul who is standing in the outer courts of your tabernacle, God, we pray that you will give them an unction, a desire to get into a closer walk in relationship with you. Father God, we ask that you will give myself and Minister Art the boldness to say that whichever it is that you would have us to say. In the mighty name of Jesus, as we stand in the gap this evening as repairers of the breach, Father, we ask, Father, that you will allow the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart to be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. It is in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. 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 And I hear we have our babies with us. Y'all know I love the babies. We bless and thank God even for our babies. And Minister Art, let me tell everyone why I asked you to be a special guest. Tonight we are talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. There's no doubt about that. We are going to get into the Feast of Tabernacles. And there's so much about the Feast of Tabernacles, like more than it. It's so much about the Feast of Tabernacles that I now understand why God says celebrate it for 7 days. I now know why he said do it that long, because there's that much to cover in the Feast of Tabernacles. So because God begun to sort of pull me in a slightly different direction, I wanted to make sure that everybody out there understand and really knows what the Feast of Tabernacles is and why we celebrate it and why God told the people of Israel to celebrate it and told us to celebrate it forevermore. So we are going to bring on, here I go, I get to use his title again, y'all, Reverend Arthur Burgess III, and he is going to break down some information for us about the Feast of Tabernacles.
Praise the Lord. And this whole reverence thing, I got to get used to. I just got to minister maybe a few years ago. So now walking in this new ordination and walking into this new place, you know, I got to get used to it. I'm still used to being on the ground. I'm still going to stay on the ground. But
amen.
To this, we're talking about God's feast days, and it's miraculous, and it's just important to understand that, how can I put this in the best way? The world has holidays, but God has holy days. And his holy days, the Bible tells us that there are statutes to be with us for all generations. He didn't stop at the children of Israel. He said for all generations. And it's amazing to know that God cares enough about us to just give us time to reflect. Before I start, I want to make this key point. A lot of people say, well, we don't have to keep those days. Those days are for the Jews. We don't have to do those things anymore. Those things are bondage. But when I check the record, I don't know anybody who would have a day off of work or have a holiday off of work. And somebody's going to say, well, I'm not going to take this day off that you've given me because that's bondage. No, you will take that day off work and you will be happy about it. So God created time for us to celebrate him and for us to get some enjoyment out of it too. It is not bondage to celebrate God. Matter of fact, it's freedom. So I'm going to read Leviticus 23, and I'm going to start at verse 26. And the scripture says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Also on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be the holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made of by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do work, do no work when in that same day, for it is a day of atonement to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. Now, the reason why I read the day of atonement is because there's a lineup. There are a lineup of feasts. So after the day of atonement, there is another feast that follows, and it is called the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, as we go further in the scriptures, give me 1 second. It's supposed to be a smartphone. But but it seems like everything is smart buttons. All right. So I'm going to go on and look at the scriptures, and we're going to look at verse 32. It should be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the 9th day of the month at evening. From even unto evening shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles. For 7 days unto the Lord, on the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. Solemn assembly means a holy gathering. And ye shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire, a burnt offering, and meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offering, everything upon his day. When I say a meat offering and a drink offering, meaning you're going to dine, you're going to eat together. All right. So beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your free will offerings, which you give unto the Lord, also on 15 days of the 7th month, when you have gathered and fruit the land, meaning when you get everything together, when you harvest, we shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days, and on the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. When they say Sabbath, it means high day. So a lot of times people confuse the 7th day Sabbath with the feast days, but the Bible calls them all Sabbath days. All right. Mm-hmm. And you shall take you on the first day the booths of goodly trees. Booths were set up to pray in. So that's why they call them. All right, thank God. That's why they called them booths, because they were temporary places to pray in. And they were made of palm trees and fig trees and willows of brooks. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. It says, once again, a statute forever in your generations, not one generation, generations, means it continues. Ye shall celebrate it in the 7th month. And ye shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All that are Israelite born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared it unto the children of Israel, the feast of the Lord. Now, I just want to reiterate something. When the Bible speaks about these Sabbaths or these high Sabbaths to celebrate, they speak about them as days to celebrate. And what are we celebrating? We are celebrating the fact that God has brought us out of something. Now, when God brought us out of something, that means he's also preparing us to be brought into something. And I believe that's the setup. That's the setup. I'm going to use that as the setup to bring Pastor Toy in. God always wants you to remember where you've been, not so that he can keep you there, but that so he can introduce you to where you're going. Because if you don't know where you've been, how can you understand where you're going? So this feast was set up to remind the people, hey, look where you've been, and now look where I'm sending you. And the temporary boost was set up to say, look, this place right here where I'm setting you up to worship me is only the beginning of something else that I want to bring you into that's more permanent. But before we get to this place, we have to start here. So, Pastor Torres, that is a little, stupid of the feast. And I'm sorry for the background noise, but that's just the snippet of the feast. And it just gives you a direction of what God is doing with this special day. Amen?
Yes. Amen. Thank you so much. And Minister Art, hang out with us. Get ready to jump on at any part. Which brings us to the Feast of Tabernacle, which we have been celebrating for the past few days. We've been in the Feast of Tabernacle. And as we've been studying this feast, that God made me see some things about the Feast of Tabernacle that I never saw before. For example, to tabernacle means to dwell in something or to dwell with something. Normally to dwell in, the indwelling. The word tabernacle is, the definition is a fixed or movable habitation, typically of a light construction. So the tabernacle is something that can be constructed and torn down easily to keep going. It is also considered a meeting place for worship. And when you just look at the definition of the tabernacle, the first thing that I realized is that, yes, the Feast of Tabernacle is showing that God had the children of Israel dwell in booths or small tabernacles in little lightweight construction habitats that they could easily put up and take down because they were on the move. They were going through the wilderness. So they were on the move. But what I looked at as I looked at that tabernacle was that just as the children were in tabernacle, that God had them make him a tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle that he had them make, he gave the design of the tabernacle to Moses while he was on the Mount Sinai. And he based this design upon the heavenly tabernacle. If you don't believe me, you can look in Hebrews 8:25. Hebrews 8:25, and I'm going there right this second. the devil is a liar. He is not going to take my voice evening. Hebrews 8:5. It says, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Okay, I'm sorry, that's verse 6. I meant verse 5. It says, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou makest all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. It said again, Hebrews 8:5, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see saith God, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Exodus 25:40, God tells him the same thing. Make sure you do this exactly like I showed you on the mount. Don't take no left turn, no right turn. Don't cut no corners. Don't cut across. I need you to do this exactly like I showed it to you. And when I began to look at that, I had to ask God, this tabernacle, it's something about this tabernacle. Now, the first thing that I realized was that, yes, we are to remember this feast at all times, but it's deeper than just the temporary booth. And what that temporary booth showed me was that just as the children of Israel who were coming out of bondage from the land of Egypt had to dwell in temporary booths, we also, as human beings, are dwelling in a temporary booth. One day we shed this body. The word of God says, for it's appointed unto all man once to die, and after death, the judgment. This booth is temporary. This flesh, this skin, this body that we tabernacle through the earth in, it's a temporary booth. But like I said, what I loved was that not only did God have the children of Israel tabernacle and booths in the wilderness, but he also had them build him a tabernacle. Now, I understand somebody just said, well, God is all-knowing and all-powerful in all places at all times. How would he have them build him a tabernacle? Because while the children of Israel were going through the wilderness, God went through the wilderness with them. Hallelujah. He didn't just walk through it by their side. He actually led them through the wilderness. By day, he was in the form of a pillar of smoke. By night, he was a pillar of fire. But the Shekinah glory of God dwelt with or tabernacled with the children of Israel and as he led them through the wilderness. And every time they would come to a place where they were to be still, they would set up not just the booths that they set up for them to dwell in, but they would set up the booth or the tabernacle that God instructed them to create for him to dwell in. So that when they were still, his Shekinah glory would go into what they called the holies of holies, which is the innermost part of the tabernacle. And I was like, wow, because that's something we missed. Because God showed us that as they were in their temporary booths, he had them prepare him a temporary booth. Now, somebody might be getting ready to catch this. Somebody may not. But if you look in the book of John, chapter 1, in the first verse, it says, in the beginning was God, was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. When you jump down to the 14th verse, it says, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. He took on the same type of tabernacle to lead us through this wilderness that we call life as we know it. Hallelujah, God. He tabernacled. See, you have to understand that tabernacle, again, means to dwell with or to dwell in. And everything that God is doing, everything that God has done, God has His ultimate goal has been about us dwelling with him and him dwelling Amen. With us. We tabernacled uh-huh. with him in the past. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. You better go ahead and preach.
We tabernacled with him uh-huh. in the past
yes,
in the
ma'am.
Garden of Eden.
Yes,
we
ma'am.
Tabernacled with him then. We tabernacled uh-huh. Then he took on the form of man after our fall, and he tabernacled amongst us in the uh-huh. form of Jesus Christ. See, look, here you go. We were with him. We mm-hmm. fell. He put on yeah. flesh to bring us back with him.
Wow.
And then loved us so much that after he laid down his life on the cross, then 3 days later bust the grave and hell wide open, sin and death wide open.
Yeah.
He ascended back to the Father 40 days later, and what did he do? He sent his spirit to tabernacle or to dwell in us with the Feast of Pentecost, to dwell one with another. Mm. And as I began to see that, I began to look at the Feast of Tabernacle a little bit different. Because what it's really about, if we look at it, it's about that tabernacle. It's about that dwelling place. So tonight we are going to look at the tabernacle. We are going to look at the tabernacle of God during his Feast of Tabernacles. So tonight we are going to feast on the tabernacle. Now, in feasting on the tabernacle, we are going to look at how the tabernacle was put together and what God instructed them to do. Now, we're not going to go into all of the different modifications. I would love to. We don't have that much time. But what we're going to do is take a general look at the tabernacle. Now, okay, the tabernacle was created in three parts. The tabernacle has the outer court,
right?
The inner court, which is also called the holy place. And then it has the innermost court, or the holies.
Right.
The place where God's spirit resides, with the spirit of God. The holies of holies is so deep, and the spirit of God dwelt in there so strong that when the priest, and only one priest could enter into the holy of holies, he was called the high priest. That when the priest would go into the Holy of Holies, they would literally tie a belt around his waist, or a rope around his waist. And his robe, his garment, had little bells on it that would jingle. And as long as when you went into the Holies of Holies, you had did everything that God told you to do before you got in there, you were fine.
Right.
You could go in there that one time a year. You could make sacrifice for sins. And as long as they heard them little bells chiming, they knew that you and God was in there communing and you must be okay.
Right.
But if for some reason them bells stopped, they didn't go in to get you. Because to go into the holies of holies unprepared could cause you to stop ringing also. So what they would do is they would drag your body out on the rope. They'd quickly appoint the next high priest and tell you, you better do everything like God said, because you see what happened to this one.
My God.
That's when we were under the law, y'all. But the even in the tabernacle, was pointing us to the dispensation of grace and mercy.
Mm.
Because everything about this tabernacle screams for man to get back to God. Let me break that down. Like the feast, the seven feasts that God ordained, they show God's plan of bringing man back unto him, God's timetable. From the time that we fell, those feasts kick in. God put together his plan of action, truthfully, before the foundation of the world. But as time we know it, and time as we know it, in this realm of existence, he put in those feast days. And those feast days show us where we are in God's plan of us being able to tabernacle with him. And I've told y'all before, out of those seven feasts, we've already lived through Passover. We have lived through unleavened bread. They have not just been shadowed, but they have also been fulfilled. We have lived through the feast of first fruits. We have lived through the feast of Pentecost. Out of those seven, four of them have been fulfilled. Ain't but three left. We are now in the dispensation somewhere between the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Trumpets. Because the trumpets, we're still waiting to hear sound, but Pentecost, we know the Holy Spirit came. And then after trumpets comes atonement, and then the Feast a tabernacle. Now, just like that, those feasts show what God is doing, the tabernacle shows us how to get to God in the midst of everything that he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about the tabernacle shows that it's designed for man and with man in mind. For example, let's look at the shell of the tabernacle. I said to you, it's built in three parts. It's the outer court, the inner court, or the holy place, and then the innermost court, or the holy of holies. And when you look at that tabernacle, it looks to me like the human body, because man is created in three portions, just as the tabernacle is. It's our body, the outer court. It's our soul, the inner court. And then it's our spirit, the innermost, or the holy of holies. I got to just say the innermost, because everybody don't have the spirit of God dwelling in them. And if you don't have the spirit of God dwelling in you, yours ain't a holies of holies. It's just your innermost court. Sorry for whoever's feelings that hurt, but it's the truth. So there's these three sections. And in these three sections, to get into each section, you have to go through a door. Now, look at it. I'm gonna try to do this. When you go into the first door of the tabernacle, okay, you're in what they call the outer court. You know, it's your flesh, it's your body. You're in the outer court. The outer court has no ceiling. Everything about the outer court, the light in the outer court comes from nature, from the sun. From the S-U-N, not the S-O-N, from the S-U-N. And everything in the outer court is about the flesh. When you at the outer court, you at the tabernacle, but you're not in the tabernacle. Like the outer court of the tabernacle, it's like if you were to come to visit me at my house and I really don't know you, so we visit on my porch. Yes, you're at my house, but you're not in my house. You on the outside of my house. You on the porch. You're on my property. You're in the right location, but you're not inside the house. And the door to get into the outer court has a name. And the name of that door is called the way. And when you get into that door, as I said, it represents the outer court, and the way. The way is your entrance into the outer court, the way. And when you get into the outer court, there are two things located in the outer court. One is an altar and one is a laver. The outer court, it has an altar and it has a laver. Because you're supposed to do something in this outer court in order for you to get into the inner court. So what is it that you have to do in this tabernacle? Well, the brazen altar and the bronze laver, that's the actual name of it, please. Let me see, how am I going to do this? We're going to start with the altar. The altar stood raised on a little mound of earth, a little higher than anything else that was in the room. The altar was made of wood, and it was overlaid with bronze. That's why they called it the brazen altar. Now, each of the four corners of the altar was square. They had symbolic horns on it. Everything on this altar represented something else. The fire on the altar was to be kept burning at all times, and the daily sacrifices was offered there. Not the feast sacrifices, this just the daily sacrifices. It was here that lambs were sacrificed to atone for sins for people. Not on the Feast of Atonement, just on the daily sacrifices. And then after they would do the sacrifices on the brazen altar, they would then move to the next piece of furniture that was in that outer court. Now, remember, the brazen altar was for the daily sacrifices. Now, the name of the door to get into the outer court is the way. And all of the little daily things that you had to handle between you and God was handled within the outer court. Now, the outer court, it represents the cross of our Lord Jesus. It represents Jesus poured out his blood on that cross. All of that is represented on that altar. But it's where you take care of those daily things, that everyday, daily to life thing. And when I think of it that way, it brings me back to Jesus said if anybody wanted to follow him, they had to pick up their cross and follow him. They had to pick up their cross. He didn't say just drop your load and come on skipping along. No, he said if anybody wants to follow me, first thing they got to do after they drop some stuff, they got to pick up their cross and follow me. They got to pick up a cross, and if I'm picking up a cross, that lets me know that at some point there's going to be a crucifixion. That's right. The word of God says I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but the life I now live in the flesh, Christ lives through me and in me. So I know that there's going to be a crucifixion that takes me back to that brazen altar. There are some things that we got to do to get into the inner court of God, mm-hmm. into the inner tabernacle. Let me go back to you visiting. We know one another. We know of each other. You come to visit, and we are on the porch. Now, while you are on the porch, if we get to talking enough, intimate conversation where you get to know me some, I get to know you some, I may decide that you can come in to my living room because we get to know each other a little bit. I let you know my do's and don'ts, and you basically let me know if you want to accept my do's and don'ts on the porch before I let you come in to my living room. So it's the same thing with God when you go into the way. And I'm going to get to this way in a second. That first door, the way, when you go into this first door, and I can't do it without putting it all together. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Let me backtrack. These three doors, there's three doors. It's the door that goes into the inner court, the outer court, the door that goes into the inner court, and the door that goes into the Holy of Holies. The names of these three doors are the way, the truth, and the life, the L-I-F-E, the life. The way leads you into the outer court, the truth leads you into the inner court, and the life leads you into the Holy of Holies. Now, this is why I'm getting so excited, because if you turn to, I believe it's John, the yeah. book of John, and I believe it's the 14th verse, and if you go there, you will see there was a conversation, the 14th right. chapter, I mean, there was a conversation where God was talking, where Jesus was talking to the disciples. And he was saying to the disciples, listen, y'all, I love y'all. Y'all my boys, but I got to go. And I want to go to prepare a place for y'all so that where I am, you can come and be there also.
Right.
And Thomas, you know, Thomas always got something to say. Thomas always doubting something. Some of y'all out there listening this evening got a little bit of Thomas spirit in you. God say he going to do A, and you telling him why he can't do it. Thomas showed up, and Thomas was like, well, Jesus, we hear you and all that, but not only do we not know where you're going, we have no clue as to how to get there. And his response to Thomas was, I am the way, the truth, in
yes.
the life. No
right.
man comes to the Father except by me. What he said
Amen.
Was, I am the three doorways that get you into the Holy of Holies. I
yes.
am the way
yeah.
that gets you into the presence
uh-huh.
of God. Do y'all see this
yeah.
thing? It's a tabernacle
mm-hmm.
thing. He said, it's
all
me,
right.
y'all. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if y'all just walk with me through these doors, you can not only know where I'm going, but you can be where I'm going. But it's all set up in this tabernacle.
Uh-huh.
It's all set up. So now he said, I am the way. And the name of the first door to the tabernacle is considered, it's called the way. And you're on the outer porch of the outer courts of the tabernacle when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When you come into
mm-hmm.
the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you have entered the outer court of the tabernacle. Don't get content with being in the outer court, because ain't nothing really happening in the outer court. Y'all ain't getting this. See, in the outer court, we lay down our lifely desires, our fleshly overtones, our flesh rule over our spirit and our soul and our mind and our body. That's what we do in the outer court. In the outer court, we're supposed to be being crucified, sacrificed daily. You know, those habits, those things that just don't line up with God. That's what's supposed to place in the outer court. And then after the sacrifice, we go to that next bronze bowl where we can wash from the sacrifice, where we can get cleaned up a little bit from what we went through on the altar. But you got to do that in the outer court. The problem with some saints of God is we done made it to the Feast of Tabernacle. We just content with the way. We don't want to go in the other two doors. I'm trying to tell you, don't just get content with him being your way. You need to get to him being your truth, because there's a greater knowledge of Jesus Christ once you get him to being your truth. Don't just get stuck in the outer court. In the outer court is where things sometimes go on that is completely against God's will. And somebody going, no, ain't nothing going on in the tabernacle that's against God's will. Really? Well, then why did Jesus turn over the tables? Why did he knock over the tables? Because they were in the outer court of the tabernacle selling and trading, and selling and trading unfairly, robbing the people in the house of God. Well, on God's porch, you know them old saints, they come outside and they see you shooting dice. Some of y'all might, I don't know if young folks still shoot dice, but they used to call it craps. They would be shooting craps. Sometimes they do it against the steps. Sometimes they do it against the wall. But they'd be on some old lady property, and that lady would come out there. Now, back in the day, the older ladies, they would come out with a bucket of hot water, and they would throw it at them. Don't y'all be gambling on my property. You don't gamble on my property. That's not what we do here. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. Turned over everything. Because, see, sometimes in the outer court, because people are still setting off sinful stuff, you can pick up some sins instead of dropping off some sins. Don't get comfortable just in the outer court. When you're in the outer court, you're still dealing a lot with your flesh.
Right.
Now, we blessing God that you made it to the tabernacle, but we don't want you to just sit on the porch. The party is taking place inside. Hallelujah, God. So now, he said he's the way. Now, the next door that you go through to get into this tabernacle, to get into the Holy of Holies, to get into this place that God would have you be at, is once you've finished in the outer court with the altar and the bronze laver. And the laver represents, like I said, our cleansing, our sanctification, where that stuff is getting washed off of us. It is when the Holy Spirit, now hear what I'm getting ready to say, he's not in us, but he's on us. He's not in us yet, not in the outer court, but he's on us. We're experiencing him, but not the way we can when we go through the truth, when we go through the door into the inner court. The door called the truth. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way. Then he said, I am the truth. He said, I am the truth. Now, what I want you to understand is you can't get into the inner court without doing what you're supposed to do in the outer court. Because once you get into the inner court, that's where the priest served God all day long. And somebody going, I don't have no call in my life to be a minister. I'm not no minister, so that don't even include me. That's where she messed up at. No, we are all priests. We are all servants of God. We are all ministers. Once you become a believer in Christ, that's what you start doing. You start ministering to yourself and to one another. We'll all start ministering. So in order to get into the truth, you have to be officially or crucified in the outer court. And then you have to be washed or cleansed. Then you can go into the next court, the next area of the tabernacle. Then you can go into the inner court, or what they also called the holy place. You can go into the inner court, what they also called the holy place. Now remember, I'm showing you how this tabernacle compares to man. Okay, so we said the outer court is like man's body. So then the holy place, or the inner court, you're talking about man's soul. And when you talk about the soul of man, the soul of a man consists of our mind, our emotion, and our will. Our will. That's when the true transformation starts to take place. When you get into the inner court of the tabernacle, there are only three pieces of furniture in the inner court of the tabernacle. Just three. It's a golden lampstand, a table of showbread, and the golden altar of incense. It's the showbread, the lampstand, and the golden altar of incense. Hallelujah. Now, when you look at this, you got, I don't even know which way to start first. We're going to start with the incense. The altar of incense is supposed to always be giving off a fragrance before the Lord. The priests have to keep it lit, burning continually before the Lord. This smoke, this fragrance that goes up before the Lord, sounds a little bit like our praise, hallelujah, praise that goes up continually. I'm sorry, let me fix that. Our praise that should go up continually before the Lord. Remember, David said, your praise shall continually be in my mouth. He didn't say, I'll praise you if everything is okay. He didn't say, I'll praise you when I'm doing well. I'm going to praise you when I'm being blessed. He said, I'm going to praise you continually. Your praise shall continually be on my lips or in my mouth. That means that even during the bad times, I got to praise in my spirit, in my belly, for the Lord. Even during my sick days, I got to praise in my spirit, in my belly, for the Lord, because his praise will continuously be in my lips. His praise is a continual thing. It ain't supposed to ever go out. It was a lady when I was a little girl. I used to love being around this lady because this lady used to make me laugh. I don't care what happened. Her response was, well, bless God. Everything that happened, bless God. You could see anger on her face, like her face done turned bright red. The steam is coming out her ears. I'm sitting there waiting for her to speak because I know she's going to give it to whoever it was that made her go through this. And she would look at him. She'd put her hands on her hip. She'd point her finger and she'd say, you know what? We going to bless God about that. And she would walk away, and I'd be like, did she just say bless God? Because his praise was continually on her lips. I'm trying to tell you that when you get to the innermost, the inner court, when you get into the inner court of the tabernacle, you begin to see life a little bit differently. And the reason you begin to see life a little bit differently is because of what lights up the inner court. Y'all get, which brings us to that lampstand, that golden lampstand, that golden candlestick, the golden lampstand, the golden candlestick. It is the only light. Now, on the outside, when you're in the outer court, the light that's in the outer court is in the outer court from the sun, the S-U-N. It's light that is given off through nature. But when you get into the inner court, the only light that's on this inner court is the golden candlestick. And this golden candlestick, and oh, I really want to go into everything about this candlestick. But this golden candlestick, and, because we don't have the time, Minister, like I want to, but I can't show you all the new functions of the car. But this golden candlestick represents the Holy Spirit. See, when you're in the outer court, what happened is by the time you get to that bronze lavia, I'm going to just call it the bronze bowl, because that's really what it is, a big giant bowl. By the time you get to that bronze bowl, the Holy Spirit is dwelling on you. But by the time you start hanging out in the inner court and you have that praise, that altar incense burning continually before the Lord, that praise is constantly going up. And then the Spirit of the Lord is lighting the place where the praise is going up. Because, see, the bronze candlestick stayed lit daily, and it would only be burning from olive oil. Anointed oil is what they use to light this candlestick. So this candle presents not God's Holy Spirit dwelling on you, but God's Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Because you are now in a place where your praise is going up continually. And because your praise is going up continually, God is not man that he should lie. His word says that he inhabits the praise of his people. But when you say inhabit, you got to use the word for the feast, that he tabernacles in the praises of his people. And because he's tabernacling there, his spirit is there. And because his spirit is there, his spirit is no longer on you, but it's working in you.
In you.
Jesus, God Almighty, this thing is deep, y'all. And you get through that again through Jesus Christ, because you got to walk through the door of the way to get to the door of the truth. And once you get into the door of the truth, you begin to get into the dwelling of the Holy Spirit, the tabernacling of the Holy Spirit in you. See, this is the thing I need y'all to see. Although we're waiting for the Feast of Tabernacle to be fulfilled in reality, or in this time frame as we know it, in this realm of existence as we know it, what I keep trying to get y'all to understand is God's word is just like God. It is omnipresent. It will fill the past, the present, and the future all at the same time. So yes, in the past, they were tabernacling in booths. Yes, in the past, God tabernacled in a temporary tabernacle, in a temporary booth. And then he took that temporary booth and he took it a step further and he tabernacled amongst us in the flesh. Then he sent his Holy Spirit and his Holy Spirit begun to tabernacle in us. What I'm trying to get you to understand is you can dwell in the presence of God and don't have to wait until the Feast of Tabernacle to be in his presence. Oh, glory to God. Y'all, we ain't got to wait. He is willing to come to you wherever you are. If you would just come on out of the outer court and walk into the inner court, if you would just go one more step, you already there. You have come to the saving knowledge. Now that you're at the saving knowledge, I dare you to go to the brazen altar, to lay yourself down on that altar and say, God, begin to take out of me everything that goes against your will. I dare you to open up your Bible and begin to use the hyssop of God's word to clean you up at the bronze bowl so that you can walk into the truth, into that inner court, where you see the light of God, the praises going up before God, where you see the Spirit of God through the golden lampstick, the golden lampstand, just sitting there, illuminating our minds. I'm going to give you one quick illumination. I used to say, God, why people don't understand your word? Why can't they see what's going on? Why can't they see what your word is saying? And it wasn't until I read the scripture where God said, for it was given unto you to understand the mystery of the keys. It was given unto you the keys of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, which means that God has revealed it to you. He didn't reveal it to everybody. It's not for everybody to get. Some folk will never get it. Some folk will hear me talk until the day God seals my tongue to the roots of my mouth, but they still will not get what it is. Because why? Because God said I didn't give it to them to understand that. I gave it to you. Saying it ain't about what I did. He gave it. He gives to who he chooses. He is not no pertainer of person. So it's in this inner court that God begins to illuminate your mind. But first, you have to have a desire to get into the party. Don't be content standing outside on the porch. I don't know why God keeps taking me back to this party. Because in the feast, when the Feast of Tabernacle is fulfilled in this realm of existence, I need you to know it's going to be a party. It's going to be a sure enough party. I'm just saying, I don't want to make it to the party location and can't get in because I want to stay on the porch. Because this is the part I need you to know. Them folks that made it to the tabernacle that won't go into the truth, Jesus said he was three things, the way, the truth, and the life, which leads me to believe that in order for me to be into the Holy of Holies, I got to walk through all three doors. And because I have to walk through all three doors, I have to do that which I'm supposed to do in each realm of those doors before I can get to the door that I need to get into, which is the door that takes me into the Holy of Holies. So if that's the case, how am I going to get there to the party and just go, no, I'm going to stay on the porch. No, I don't want to stay in my flesh. No, I don't want to just hang out in the inner court. I don't want to just stay content that my soul is saved. I want to make it into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. But I said there was three pieces of furniture. I didn't go into the showbread. The showbread. I got to touch on this table of showbread, because the table of showbread was is positioned right across from the golden candlesticks. And this table of showbread, the only way that you could even really see it was because this showbread sort of reflected the light that the candlestick is giving off. Y'all got what I'm saying? Because like the table of showbread is overlaid with pure gold, so it's already going to reflect some stuff, okay? And the ceiling that is made of colored fine linen with pictures of cherubims and things like that sewn onto them. So the priest, if that bread is in and that lamp was to go out, the priest would not be able to see the bread. So although the bread is there, the priest can't see it unless the illumination of the golden lamp stand is hidden. The showbread is representation of God's provision for his children. Now, understand, you ain't getting no provision in the outer court. Ain't no showbread in the outer court. Oh, yeah, you catching overflow stuff because you still on the porch. So somebody might bring you out a plate. You know, you hanging on the porch at a party. But when you go inside, don't nobody have to bring you a plate. You can reach and fix your own plate. You can get all of what you need right there. But in order for you to be able to do that, the showbread, if the Holy Spirit isn't illuminating it, you don't see it. Does that mean it's not there? No, it don't mean that it's not there. It just means you don't see it. Okay, how do I make this plain? And then we're going to go into the call of salvation before I go into the holies of holies. Y'all, I'm telling y'all, this is so much deeper than just the Feast of Tabernacles and remembering that God kept us in booths. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that although the provision of God is there, if it's not illuminated by the Spirit of God, you don't see it. Not that you don't see the provision, but you don't realize that it's the provision of God. For example, all those folks that think that they have everything they have because they have a 9-to-5 job somewhere, you don't even see the provision of God, because God can move his provision and take that away. But because the Holy Spirit is not illuminating it, you think you still got, you might be in the inner court, but you got outer court mentality. You still think that what's lighting up the room is actually from the S-U-N that's outside and not from the power of the Spirit that is inside. You got to understand that the showbread, it represents God's provision, but it's God's provision for all mankind. And just because you see the, you, I'm sorry, just because the provision is there, if you do not see it, you will not recognize it, and most times you will not pick it up. Now, does that mean that we're not supposed to work hard? By all means, no. The Word of God tells you that a man that don't work don't eat. So, yes, we are supposed to work. But we are supposed to recognize that everything we do, God's hands is blessing and providing. But you can't see that if you don't have the illumination of the Holy Spirit on you to see that. You still think that it's you doing it. I pray that somebody catch what I'm saying, and that God don't have to strip you down to nothing for you to realize and understand that, baby, it was never you. It was always about God. It was always the hand of God on you. Some of you don't even realize the blessings that you are catching. The only reason that the priest can even see the showbread in your life, it ain't even because the Spirit is shining through you. You catching overflow blessings from your mama, your grandmama, your granddaddy, your great-grandmama, because somebody prayed for you before you were. Somebody prayed for their seed before you were even a thought in the lineup of the seedlings. You catch an overflow. But I dare you to begin to catch God at God's best in the tabernacle. I dare you to begin to come to a place where you just dwell one-on-one with God. Understand, this is the beauty part. We're going to go to the Holy of Holies. But the beauty part is, there used to be a veil that kept you out of the Holy of Holies. It had a door, but the door was blocked by a heavy veil. The beauty is that Jesus tore the veil in two. What do I mean when I say Jesus? Because when Jesus died, at the moment that he gave up his ghost, God pulled that veil in two, not from the bottom to the top, so that somebody can say, oh, no, the men of Israel went in there, or God, Jesus' disciples went in there. No, God did it from the top to the bottom. He rent the veil in two. No more can you tell my people they cannot come before me. Sin, you have no more power over my people. They have been redeemed. They can now come back into my presence. Death, you have no more power over my people. They have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You can come into my presence. We can go to the party, y'all, if we just dare to walk into the tabernacle. I'm going to have Reverend Art. Reverend Art. Okay, I was hoping that Brother Art was still there. We were going to ask him to come on to do the call of salvation. Prayerfully, we will get him back in a little bit, but I will do the call of salvation right this second until we can get him back on. Amen. It's really simple. It's really simple. It's just accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's just accepting Jesus as your personal Savior, accepting him, accepting the gift that God has given to you, accepting the invitation to go into the tabernacle. Not just hang out on the porch, but to go into the Holy of Holies, to be able to walk through the entire house. You just accept the gift that God gave to you. You begin to accept not just the dwelling of the Holy Spirit on you, but the dwelling of the Holy Spirit in you. And you get that through Jesus Christ. The Word of God says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. All you have to do is believe in him. He told you that he is the way into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Isn't it amazing that he said the names of the three doors that took you into the Holy of Holies, into the actual presence of God? It's amazing. All we have to do is accept them. We just got to accept them. And how do we accept them? We accept them by saying this simple prayer. We say, Father God, I accept the gift of your Son, Jesus. I ask him to come into my life. I ask him to forgive me my sins. I ask him to make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. And the last thing that you have to do is you just tell somebody. You say, hey, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior this evening. You just tell somebody. Once you say that, according to God's word, you are saved. Now, we encourage you to attempt to find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But if for some reason you cannot, bless God, that is why Purpose Kingdom Network is here for you. Please join us tomorrow evening for another episode of Purpose Kingdom Network right here at www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. We will be broadcasting at the 9 p.m. hour with Warriors of Christ and our host, Sister Dominique Hudson. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Facebook, LinkedIn, and Google Plus. We are Purpose Kingdom on Instagram and Twitter. We are Purpose_Kingdom. You can email our comments, questions, suggestions, concerns to us directly at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. I see that we have a special prayer request. So before we go any further into closing out our program, and if you are on the air listening to us via internet, you can call in. The number is 323-870-4174. Amen. I'm going to say that again. Number is 323-870-4174. We are broadcasting live out of Philadelphia, PA, www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. We have a special prayer request that was texted to me. I would like to hear from anyone out there if you would like to speak before we close out, but we are going to go into a special prayer. I do see the sister's name. I don't want to say the sister's name out loud because I don't know if they want everyone to know, but we're going to have prayer for her right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, we come before you this evening boldly yet humbly before your throne of glory as you and you alone has given us the permission and the freedom to do, Father. We come blessing your holy name this evening, Father. We come standing in the gap for your daughter this evening, Father. You know what she is going through. You know the desires of her heart, Father. You created her, Father. Let her know, Father God, that you never slumber nor sleep, that you will never leave her nor forsake her, God, that even in this trial, even in this tribulation, even in the intense anticipation of rejoining with loved ones, Father God, let her know, God, that you are still in control, that you have everything worked out according to your will and according to your plan in the name of Jesus. God, we stand in the gap against any stumbling blocks that could be hindering the progress of things in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we ask that you will just touch her mind this evening. Give her peace this evening, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Give her peace that surpasses all understanding, God. Let her know, Father, that she has put her trust in the sure foundation, Father, and that you will not fail her, that you who started the good work on her shall see her through until the day of completion. It is in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Amen. We stand before you. And I'm just, as I said earlier, I'm so excited. I want to talk to you about this inner court, being in the presence of God. When you get into the inner court, when you get into the holy, not the inner court, I'm sorry, the innermost court, the holy of holies. To get into that court, you must go through a door called the life. You've already gone through the way. And you entered into the outer court. And then you went through the door called the truth. And you entered into the inner court, or what we would call the holy place. And then you go through a door called the life. And when you go through this door called the life, you are entering into that which is called the holies of holies. You are entering into the actual presence of God. Hallelujah. When you go into the holies of holies, the first thing you would see through this darkness is the smoke that is rising up, the cloud. When I say darkness, I don't mean pitch black, just darker than the other previous room. And in this room is where the presence of God dwells. It's where the mercy seat is located. And on the mercy seat, that is where the sin offering was made for atonement once every year. This mercy seat had two cherubims or two angels statues at each end of it. They called it the Ark of the Covenant. Then the mercy seat was placed upon the Ark of the Covenant. This holy place, this presence of God. Once Psalm writer said, I will dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. That means I will dwell in the presence, in the Shekinah glory, the presence of God. And we have ample way to his presence through the door called the life. Now, before I go on that, I see that we have a caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Ma'am. My name's Della Guccio, and I'm praying for my family. And I'm also praying for you and Marie to try to get the hospital a bed. They say he can come home.
Bless God.
Bless God.
We are praying for that.
Only man can do this. God only can do it. And no other man but God. And I don't put I don't put man first. I put God first, and then my children, and then my husband, and then my pastor.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, my pastor named Timothy Robinson and LaShawn Robinson.
Oh, bless God. Well, Sister Della, thank you so much. We are praying for you. We are praying with you. We are touching and believing God for that situation. Prayerfully, I believe tomorrow, prayerfully, I'm not saying a definite, but prayerfully, we might be able to help with that hospital bed situation tomorrow. But
praise
I want to thank
Lord.
You. For,
and
I
thank
want
you.
To thank you.
Your love offering.
Oh, we bless God for you. I want to thank you for calling
God in to blessing all us, everybody across America, jailhouse,
yes.
prison, institution, and child protective service, and also social service. I just pray, God, for everyone. And
amen.
And hope for God first.
That's
amen.
Right. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much, Sister Della, for listening and for supporting. And we are going to be on that tomorrow. Amen. I want to get back to the Holy of Holies. And I want to get back to the Holy of Holies just for one thing. I'm not going to stay there long because we have to end. We're going to bring our engineer on to do any last announcements, and then we're going to close out. But I need you to understand how important it is that you can get to the Holy of Holies. As I said, Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the three doorways that leads into the very presence of God, or the Holy of Holies. It's Jesus Christ. It's just that simple. It is Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross that gave us that access. He gave us that access. And it's funny because I know the apostles didn't understand it then. When he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because I know they didn't understand it when he first said it. I didn't understand it when I first read it. But what he said was, I'm going back into the Holy of Holies. I'm going back into the presence of God. Remember, at the very start of this, I said that God gave Moses at the Mount of Sinai very specific instruction on exactly how to make the tabernacle. And then after he gave them instructions, he then turned around and said, now be mindful, do it exactly like I showed you up on that mountain. That was a warning. He said, because what I showed you was the heavenly diagram of the heavenly tabernacle, the heavenly dwelling of God with man and man with God. So when Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, he was saying, I'm going back into the presence of God. I'm going into the Holy of Holies. God loves us so much that at the moment that Jesus gave up the ghost, he tore the rail of the temple in two. That's how bad he wanted us. He didn't wait for him to get laid down in the grave. He didn't wait for him to rise from the grave. At the moment that Jesus took his last breath, God said, children, punishment is over. Time out is done. Come out the corners. Come back unto me. Come into the holies of holies. Come into my presence. Come and dwell with me. Let's dwell one with another like we did in the garden, where you could frolic in my presence all day long, where I could come and just sit and talk with you. Hallelujah, God. And we don't have to wait until the fulfillment of the feast. The feast can be fulfilled in each of our lives every day, right here, right now. If we would just walk into the tabernacle. Brother Robert, if you're there, can you come on with the announcement, and then we're going to come back and close out.
Yes, I can. Great show. I mean, wow. Especially you and Minister Art. Wow. I think we might need like a 2-hour special. So I just want to make an announcement. We already got 10 days down in the month, and on October 21st, we got the phenomenal Sister Fish Fry, which is going to be at the Mills Creek Tavern at 4200 Chester Avenue in Philadelphia, PA. All platters are going to be $12 there, and the event starts from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Please tell someone, please come out and support this event, and it's for a worthy cause. You know, if you want to contact us, you can contact us at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com for prayer requests or any other, you know, any other thing you want to correspond with us, or just let us know how we're doing. And Pastor Tori, I'm just going to return the program back into your hands.
Thank you so much. I just bless God. I thank each and every one of you for dealing with me this evening. I know that I was probably all over the place, just so much information to cover. And I'm just so excited about what God is doing. And I'm so excited about the fact that when you look at it all comes down to God just wants to dwell with us and wants us to dwell with him. One more thing I want to show you about the tabernacle. Three sections of the tabernacle: the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. So far, if you look at God tabernacling with his people, we tabernacled with him in eternity past. He tabernacled with us through Jesus Christ and in us through the Holy Spirit. I consider that all one dispensation, y'all. But then the day is going to come when we are going to tabernacle with him in the Holy of Holies. We will be with him forevermore. Hallelujah, God. And I bless God for that. I would like to thank each and every one of you for joining us for this episode of Study for Life and this episode of Purpose Kingdom Network, the way, the truth, and the life, the Feast of Tabernacle. You can't even have the feast. So I pray this evening that someone will walk through the way into the truth, go through life into the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God. I love you. Good evening. Good night. God bless.
Jesus bled.
He raised me. I will not lose. He saved me. I will not lose.
Devil wanna see me down. I will not lose.